Hey everyone, welcome back to the War Report and what is a absolutely crazy day in wrestling. Of course, every week, I mean, it seems like something gets crazier, whether it's in the world or in the world of wrestling. Of course, your host, Rajani, and joined by Cyrus. I just wanted to start out and say that with every woman that has come forward and told their stories, I am absolutely sorry this happened to you. This is definitely a problem. I mean, everybody's heard stories if they've been a fan of wrestling for a long time. I can't even begin to imagine the anguish and pain that they feel, and I sympathize and I believe you, and it definitely needs to get cleaned up. I'm glad that, you know, they're absolutely brave in telling these stories, and yeah, I'm 100% behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just another, like, just a crazy thing that happened in this year of 2020. Like, I guess, like, on the bingo card, nobody would have really thought that, like, UK male wrestlers, you know, just exposing a lot of them was, like, on anybody's bingo card. Like, This is very insane, and this looks very bad on the British wrestling community, or just like male wrestlers in general, and like, yeah, man, this is bad. This sucks. Everybody that's anybody that's been outed as an abuser today and yesterday, like, you know. Wish the worst fate.
No, I don't want to. The thing is, yeah. I don't want to turn this into, okay, I didn't like X wrestler beforehand, so like him getting out of this abuser, let's dogpile. It's not about that. I'm reframing this and putting the victims first, as they should be. Mm-hmm. Of course, the crimes that are alleged that have been out there, terrible. Absolutely terrible. And like I said, like, I extend my deepest sympathies and, you know, heartfelt sorrow to all these women who have come out and have said, like, it's numerous stories. It's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's endless stories, and it needs to stop. And especially we're in a kind of profession where it looks like male wrestlers, like, exert power over very talented and very deserving female wrestlers. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, it was a long time coming. Like I said, there's been stories out long time about, you know, sexual abuse and sexual assault and mental abuse and everything of that nature. But, you know, I'm, like I said, 100% with the victims.
Yeah, I believe the hashtag is Speak Out. Yeah, man, this is
no, like, take awful. You know what? If you're a dude that likes wrestling, I would advise you to listen, take a look in that hashtag, mm-hmm. take in the stories, educate yourself, and understand that things like sexual abuse and sexual assault are not okay. Things like consent and things of that nature, it needs to honestly be in the constant, it needs to be played in our head all over and over again when it comes to, like, respecting women and dealing with women.
Yeah, also, just because, you know, these, you know, you probably really like a match that they had, or like they're your favorite performers, that does not excuse their actions. Yeah, I don't think I had to add anything else to that. Yeah, man, just because they're your favorite doesn't mean they're innocent, or, you know, they didn't do it or anything like that, and you could just discredit the victim. So,
no, it's just that, yeah, like, yeah, sometimes you can't separate the gimmick from the person, and this is one of those times, so.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those times where it's not like, well, like, I liked the match that he had in 2017, like, no, son, that's not what's going to be done here. But yeah, this is a, and I don't think it's going to stop. honestly, I think more people are going to speak out. So we might be getting a lot of these wrestlers out of here, and then
that's
just in the UK.
That I'm okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And then like this is just, you know, UK wrestlers. Like there's going to be a time where it's going to come back to the States and it's going to be something serious. Like I believe somebody already hinted that one of their abusers are, they didn't name them, but they said they are on Dynamite.
And also when it comes to women telling their stories, do not pressure them. Like let them come mm-hmm. out. First of all, it's very painful for women to kind of speak about these experiences because they have to experience the pain all over again. So, like, let them come out and speak about it on their own time. And also, when you're, like, discussing anything sexual abuse related, especially on social media, understand that mm-hmm. most of the women in your life has experienced at least one instance of sexual abuse or assault or harassment. So be careful how you speak about it because it could be a triggering moment for them.
I think it's honestly gonna like when they start naming wrestlers that are stateside, it's gonna get a lot more nasty out here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not cheering for the, like, I don't, I'm like, you know, I'm mm-hmm. just for the right things to happen. And, like, if it takes wrestling to look very hard in the mirror and how it composes itself, it can't just be, like, the good old boys and, you know, this is how everything is done. You know, like, yeah. I'm thankful that women have more of a voice in wrestling. To be honest, they're some of the most talented. I look more towards like women's wrestlers sometimes more than the men. So like I'm okay with getting it cleaned up. You know, it's long overdue as it has been with many industries, not just wrestling. Like there's music, movies, corporate, every corporate structure. It needs to
like, this is a life thing and it's garbage and it sucks. Do you want to like name the wrestlers that have been outed or, you know?
No, I mean, okay. I think that everybody should, like, honestly look at that hashtag, look at the stories for themselves, and mm-hmm. kind of, like, educate themselves on why, you know, things like sexual assault and even little instances of harassment are not okay. And, like, things just go ahead. Like, it was just really hard reading all those stories. Like, because you could feel the pain and hurt in every single one of them. Like, like especially from the female wrestlers that had to give them. Like, they go into wrestling because this is their dream. Just like any male wrestler. Like, they want to make it. They want to live out, like, the dreams of who, you know, whoever their, like, inspiration was. And then they get into it and, you know, in some cases, like, they get abused physically or abused mentally. And, like, they either end up hating wrestling or, like, it's hard for them to do. Like, it's just heartbreaking, man. Like, and we need to, like, cut it out. Just stop it. Like, wrestling needs a cleansing in all levels. So, I mean, that's all I got to say about it. Moving on. Do you have any final thoughts about that?
I know a lot of people say like, oh, just like throw NXT UK in the trash. I don't necessarily believe that. There are still a lot of like good people that don't really deserve to be, you know, unemployed due to the shitty actions of others.
Yeah, support them.
Yeah.
Support the good people. Support the good people more. Like, with women's wrestlers who, like, you know, buy their merch. Support them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do that. It's just, man, it's a tough day. And, like, it seems like wrestling has had a lot of tough days.
Yeah.
Just not, you know, this. But, like, moving on.
There are, Yeah, just moving on. There is a lot of other positive stuff that is going on, just in the NXT landscape that I'm excited for.
Yeah, I had a feeling that you're going to be very high on NXT and very low on AEW. I had a feeling when I watched these shows. But
what's AEW?
Yeah, exactly. But just quick in the trenches news. I'm sure everybody's heard about Randy Orton, Tommaso Ciampa, and them going back and forth. It started with the slap in my leg for you guys, and then Ciampa is like, he tweeted, and like, looks like I've hurt the feelings of the self-appointed locker room leader in wrestling school. And then Orton tweeted back, let me know what time the leg slap class starts so I could take my game to the next level. Orton expounded upon that. He was speaking basically like just a little bit of his quote. One of those is longevity. I don't know anything about what NXT pay is like, but I certainly ain't, it ain't certainly ain't Raw and SmackDown pay. I don't know what you get paid for a takeover, but I'm gonna go out and limb and say, guess what? At WrestleMania, my paycheck is bigger than the takeover guys. Now, I hate when guys talk about my big bank account or my big paycheck, this and that, or I'm more rich than you. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying that NXT shouldn't be the goal. Raw or SmackDown should be the goal. When I initially heard about this, like, I didn't, it, to me, it was much to do about nothing. Like, Randy does this. And then, like, sometimes, like, Tommaso kind of, he gets a little, you know, irritated because he's a very pro NXT guy. And maybe this is building a program between them two. Maybe Randy comes down NXT, which would actually be pretty cool. But, I mean, it's just, you know, you know, and one more quote I'll read. All different kinds of fans love all different types of styles, and there's definitely a proper style down in NXT. I'm not saying fans are wrong, and I'm not saying that the wrestlers are wrong. I'm just saying there's no longevity into it. There's no chance you're going to be able to have a 10, 15, 20-year career and be able to support your family.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of truth to a lot of what Randy Orton was saying in that interview about NXT stuff, where, like, yeah, Raw and NXT, Raw and SmackDown definitely should be the goal. Like, because I guess NXT is not, you know, technically developmental anymore, but you do need to grow and expand. And I just feel like once you get too big for NXT, then that kind of creates a logjam for all the other guys that are down there. So you do go to, you know, you level up, and then there's like kind of more to gain when you're on SmackDown and Raw, which is like a bigger paycheck. And like, you know, Orton wasn't trying to really flex his money. It was just like, you know, if you want to support your family, and, you know, he also talks about like Tommaso Ciampa's daughter, and it was just like, hey man, you want to support her a little better? Like, maybe the paycheck that SmackDown and Raw would offer would be more sufficient. And then the interview that Tommaso Ciampa had, where he said like he feels like he would only have a year on Raw and SmackDown versus 4 years in NXT. And I think that's BS. And I think he's really just speaking about when he, you know, first showed up on SmackDown, and then he got injured by Sheamus. But like, you know, accidents happen. It's not ballet, blah, 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 this and that. But it's just like, if you feel like you can only survive 1 year on NXT and SmackDown, change that. You know, like, I just feel like if you feel like your career is only going to last six, you know, only a year on SmackDown, but you're doing all this crazy shit in NXT that, you know, affects your longevity, then are you actually going to have 5 years in NXT? And then Orton said, you know, maybe, yes, the travel might be too much, but sign a deal that requires you to do less travel. I'm actually, like, there's ways around to what, like, shit that he's saying. And Orton created, like, I guess, like, he gave a lot of good insight Like, I guess he wasn't really trying to be a dick when he was, like, doing the leg slap thing. But, you know, like, Ciampa, you know, took it personally and it became something.
He was definitely trying to be a dick, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm actually going to go, like, I see what Orton is saying. And maybe that was a little bit true years ago. But I'm actually going to kind of go a little bit more Ciampa side. Ciampa has a... Well, he just came off of really bad neck surgery. And if I'm Ciampa, I am not looking forward to being on the road 270 days a year. Not with that injury. And I understand... Understand that Randy Orton wouldn't... There was a time that he came into wrestling where he came in and he was paired up with Evolution and he was hailed as like he's a third generation superstar. You know, he was a part of that ilk. And yes, you know, being on Raw and being on SmackDown could be great for some, but I know there's a lot of people in the NXT locker room who have pride there. Like, they can't. If Raw and SmackDown is the goal, I understand, but you can't do that and then say NXT is the third brand, right? And then elevate it to USA and then just be like, all right, well, if you want to stay there, then what's your goal there? Like, I get what Orton is saying, and like I do agree with some of his points. Like, working a very breakneck aerial type style is going to hurt you in the long run. That's been proven. Like, you could look at basically any wrestling promotion and that would be true. But at the same time, like, wouldn't working 270 days a year on the road do that to you as well? Like, you see that, and to the point where, like, you could work out contracts, that's not alluded, that's not given to everybody. Like, everybody's not, like, looking, you know, Vince McMahon, he's not going to look at a Ciampa as he does a Daniel Bryan. He's not going to afford that opportunity to everyone. So, like, that might be a little bit tougher than everybody else.
Well, Daniel Bryan definitely had, you know, he definitely has a more level of power the seniority to actually, you know, kind of like bargain a bit with that. But like, I'm not going to say, like, maybe Ciampa did ask for like a lighter schedule and they said no, and then he went back to NXT, right? But then Tommaso Ciampa comes back from neck surgery or whatever, and then he has like a feud with Johnny Gargano or Adam Cole, fresh from neck surgery, and then he's taking neck bumps in NXT. If you really care about your longevity, you would not be taking bumps like that in general. So that's where I feel like where Orton is saying that you feel like you're only going to survive 1 year on NXT, 1 year on SmackDown. Like, there's an issue there. And I agree. And then it's also just like Orton offered a lot of solutions to like Tommaso Ciampa's, like, you know, his stance against going up on the roster. And I feel like NXT definitely needs a newer landscape, and I feel like a lot of people are going to really hate the newer landscape for a little bit, but like getting people like Johnny, Adam Cole, you know, start pushing a lot of those guys out, you'll see a lot of new talent come in, and I'm looking forward for a lot of that going on in NXT.
I mean, like, he cited like Kevin Owens winning the NXT championship he couldn't wait to come back and like win a Raw and SmackDown championship. That's fine and well, but like, I know, just speaking for myself, like, I may not want what you want. Like, you may want to, like, a person may want to be like an astronaut, and I don't want that. Like, that might be a big accomplishment for you. That's not a big accomplishment for me. That doesn't mean that the accomplishments aren't valid. But, like, I may want something different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I may want to go win the New Japan title. That doesn't mean that the WWE title is less prestigious. It's just that it's just not in my thing that I want to do. And I think that that view has to be valid as well. Like, it, I'm not arguing that, like, winning the Raw or SmackDown championship isn't a great accomplishment. Like, you've had great champions like Austin, you know, The Rock, Triple H, Randy Orton. Like, the list goes on and on. But, like, you also have to recognize that, you know what? Maybe NXT guys don't want that. And if you're going to have a brand that is on the, it has a show on the USA, on the USA Network every week, you got to have something. Like, you got to build it up. It has to be of substance. Like, USA Network, it's a cable show. Like, it's not, they're not showing that on, like, FS1. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big cable network.
If I, like, okay, maybe Ciampa does want to stay on NXT. Well, that's, like, that's clear. He made that his choice. But then Randy also brought up the thing is just, like, you have a, you know, you have a new baby. Being a father, you know, providing is very important. And the money on NXT or, you know, SmackDown is something that you kind of want to look at to provide for, you know, a life for your new daughter. But, you know.
But then again,
I don't know how much NXT is paying.
Yeah, he said he didn't know how much they were paying. So, like, he's kind of, isn't he kind of contradicting himself? Like, it may.
Man.
I know. I
NXT
know that.
Ain't getting no goddamn.
But I know that Raw and SmackDown are getting paid more. That obviously, and Randy Orton is right on the top. But at the same time, like, wouldn't if Ciampa has a new baby? So being away for and not obviously not right now because we're in the pandemic and everybody is taping in the same place. But like, say like live shows happen. Providing for that new baby, absolutely, with money, yes. But at the same time, like, being away from his son or daughter for 270 days, wouldn't that be a detriment? Like, we just saw a Dark Side of the Ring where Owen Hart said, you know, like, him and his family said that he wished he saw his kids more. That he was winding his career down so he could be with them more. So, okay. at the same time...
That was a long time ago. There are a lot of people with children now that do get to see their kids. Well, he's no longer in the company, but Carl Anderson, he talks about being able to see his kids often.
They weren't used. I mean, like, they were used.
But... Yeah.
Presumably, I don't know, you know, the frequency that Tommaso Ciampa would be used, but given his status, he would be used a lot either on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, or, you know, he signs that contract that Orton says where, you know, he kind of like probably lower his usage, you know? But like, it is what it is. I'm definitely on Randy Orton's side on this where... Because I do think he pointed out a lot of cap that was in that interview. And I think Tommaso Ciampa definitely got a little, you know, too emotional just about the leg slap thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm more in the middle. I see both points. And I think there are valid things to be said kind of from an NXT side or an Orton side. I definitely think that Orton tweeted that out just for people to... just as a rib and for people to get upset, and Ciampa took the bait.
Well, yeah. Ciampa took the bait, but like Randy Orton is just saying, you know, a lot of criticisms that a lot of old wrestlers in his, you know, era sort of have. Like even Undertaker, I think there was a report that Undertaker also like said something to the Randy Orton effect, where it's just like, you know, all you guys are like really athletic, but like there's no story. And, you know, the spots that you guys are doing are like very dangerous. And, you know,
Undertaker
that ruins your longevity.
Undertaker can barely walk. Undertaker just had hip surgery. And he's had an accumulation of injuries. And his story.
But he ain't have no neck surgery.
Okay, but Edge did.
Yeah, and now look, he's back.
And hurt again. From an
but it's not, it's
from
not
an
his neck.
Match. It's his bicep.
But it's not his neck.
I understand that, but like he had a neck injury that ended his career.
The torn tricep, like, that will heal, and he will be able to wrestle again.
Well, okay, well, Tommaso Ciampa, he came back from that neck injury.
Yeah, and then he takes a neck bump, and then, you know,
I'm not condoning,
having
I'm
two
not
neck...
condoning the neck, the neck bump, but at the same time, it's just saying, like, Undertaker's storyline for a long time was continue the streak. So I'm like, and then afterwards it was kind of like, does he have it anymore? Like that's been told in wrestling since Bruno Sammartino days. Like, so I'm like storytelling, like it's weird because like New Japan has storytelling in their matches. Sometimes they go way too long, but people don't like that. It seems like it changes within the day of what people like. So
yeah,
and I would argue that a Ciampa and Gargano match has storytelling in it. It has callbacks
yes.
into it. So I think that's an unfair criticism. Some of these NXT takeover matches have substantial amount of storytelling and mm-hmm. callbacks.
I think where and Randy Orton kind of like. Stands on that would be like you can still tell this fantastic story but like not go out there and like you know killing yourself.
No, I mean the greatest match ever as it was billed, it was a great match, you know, like
yeah, not the greatest match ever but it was really good. And I think just like him saying the stuff that he said about NXT and then going out and backlash and blowing everybody's expectations in the match. Like, I definitely feel people are more gravitated towards Randy Orton's side. Like, surely I might be seen as one of those people, but like Randy Orton did speak a lot of truths in his interview and what he said about NXT. And I think the criticisms that he has about NXT are really just within the male wrestlers. I don't think the women are out there doing as much crazy stuff as like the men are in their matches.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think anybody's wrong. Like, even me.
Yeah.
If you agree with Orton, or I'm kind of more to the Ciampa side. I don't think it's just a matter of opinion. All right, let's get into the shows.
Right. Hello, yes, gentlemen, the passion. The competition. And you've given me an idea where I think everybody wins. Next week, Keith Lee will defend his North American Championship against Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor in a triple threat match. I haven't forgotten about you, Adam. No, no, no. Because whomever walks away as the North American Champion will face you, Adam Cole, on July the 8th. Champion versus champion. Winner takes all.
We got Keith Lee, your North American champion. You got Finn Balor, you got Johnny Gargano, and then you have Adam Cole. There's going to be a triple threat. It's going to be Keith Lee, Johnny Gargano, and Finn Balor for the North American title. And then the winner of that will go on to face Adam Cole, and it's going to be champion versus champion, winner takes all.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like everybody loves to unify titles around the WWE.
Yeah, and I most likely do think that's to just like have less people come in to work. And it's going to work. I think that you won't really need to have that many competitors on the show if you can take a champion off. And I think this would be a really good way to build somebody up and then get Adam Cole the hell out of here.
I don't like this. I am not a fan of this because there are so many wrestlers like a Damian Priest, a Timothy Thatcher, that need that North American title, that need that... need something to fight for eventually.
Hey, not Damian Priest. He's cooked. He already had his shots.
Okay, well, I mean, he's an example. like I said, like a Timothy Thatcher or, you know, somebody like that. They need something to fight for. So unifying the belts
No, they're not unifying.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's not unifying. Like, one guy having both of the belts? Like, first of all, I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it has to happen. There's no way around it.
I just don't. I think that they will get around it, especially with Keith Lee breaking the hourglass. Karrion Kross is not going to take too kindly to that. So either he gets involved in the North American title match, or he gets involved in the World Championship match. Something's going to happen.
Whoever comes out North American champion is going to go into that NXT championship match. Whether Karrion Kross gets involved or not, like, maybe there will be a, like, I doubt they're going to do a disqualification finish. So it's a winner take all. So no matter what happens, we're getting a double champion soon.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of it, but, it literally can go.
I don't think anybody is going to, the lower card dudes, like, you know, that you're particularly worried about, they're not going to go anywhere. They can still fight for the title. It's just whoever's champion at the time is going to wrestle two matches. I doubt they're going to do it the New Japan way where they fight for both belts.
I don't see it, but I'm still not a fan of that because, like, why, like, have another challenger with the title? Like, I mean, like, I don't – say if Adam Cole wins it. This guy already – as – of this recording, he's held the NXT championship for 382 days. He could be the double champ. That could be another bookmark in his historic NXT run. But at the same time, it's just like, all right, Adam Cole, you know, he was the first North American title. He has it again. He's wrestling twice. Like, come on, man. Like, just have
Are you just else. Saying that you don't want to see the same person wrestle two matches?
I don't. I really don't. There's too much talent in NXT for that to happen. Like, now
well,
you're taking...
with the COVID thing, you kind of have to have less talent around.
Well, if WWE, as per reports, were actually testing people in the first place, then maybe they wouldn't have that problem. Like, you know, in a state where cases are rising by the day. If they were testing
the 20% thing, and it just goes to show that the 20% thing just doesn't work. And just the COVID thing, like, it was going to happen regardless. Like, it was bound to happen. It just wasn't smart.
Now, like, testing people from jump should have been... How much money does WWE make still? Like, they have record profits? You can get tests, and you can test your roster, and people come in every day. I mean, like, if you, per COVID, you may want to look at consolidating, and everybody down this list is deserving. Like, I talked about Adam Cole, Keith Lee. You could have, like I said, like, last week, I thought about he was going to go after Adam Cole anyway without the title, so now he's going with the title. So if you... unifying the belt, you know, him getting the belts too, that'd be cool. Finn Balor, the returning champion of NXT, he was one of the, I wouldn't say first big title reigns in NXT. He comes back and he wins double champion. That'd be cool. And then Johnny Gargano, first triple crown winner. I know he says that he wants to be like the first married champion,
couple or whatever.
Champion with Candice. Candice is going to have to get... Well, I mean, I think she'll get the title eventually. She's going to have to wait in line, though. That's going to take a long time to do. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's, to me, is the least likely to get the championship. But, like, anybody here has an argument to basically win that. It's just that I don't, you know, like... Same guy wrestling twice. It's just like you don't even have time to put everybody on the show already. So it's just like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, if there you can't put everybody on the show already, then just
to start calling more people up.
Have less people. Yeah, and that's why I don't think Adam Cole is going to win. I think he is out of here, and then whoever is the double champ, I think it will start to usher in a lot of new guys. I hear you on, like, not wanting to see the same person wrestle twice, but I see a major piece in NXT leaving for somebody to come, you know, come in.
We've also said that too. We've said that with Undisputed Era, yeah. And that hasn't happened. So I would have to blink and actually see them show up on Raw or SmackDown in order to believe it. Now, would Roddy come in and, well, not Roddy, but Kyle O'Reilly coming and doing that skit, that's an encouraging sign. So, like, he's around. So you couldn't do it that way, but I guess we'll have to see. We'll see how this shakes out.
Having Adam Cole linger around without the belt, that's going to be so weird. I definitely think soon as he loses, do not have that man come out at NXT. Just let it disappear, bro.
Yeah. Moving on, the NXT men's title picture. We got Imperium. You got Breezango. You got Endashir. You got Lorcan and Birch. And apparently, Dream and Loomis. Now
weird.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thrown together team. Wasn't really expecting that. Even though the Dream says that he works alone, but it looks like they are going to be a tag team as well. So you have five tag teams into play.
Mm-hmm. So when all the tag teams showed up after Imperium won their retained their titles, and then they showed Loomis and Dream right after, I was just like, to me, everybody that was just out there, they ain't winning jack shit. So they might have like a triple threat or something, or like a fatal five way with all those teams. Get them all out of here, and then have Dream and Loomis probably be number one contenders at some point. But Dream saying that he wants to work alone, it might just be like a Gold Dust Booker T thing, or like the R-Truth thing, where they don't want a team together, and then it's just like, oh, all right, let's see how this goes, and then maybe they do end up tag team champions in the end.
Yeah, I think that they're
I see the benefit of it.
Yeah, it's like, well, we can't have these guys in like the title pictures right now, so let's team them up.
Well, like, yeah, this, yeah, you can't, like, that's it, like, now both of the title, both of the single title divisions are stacked with just putting all the male performers together. You got the biggest in NXT to, like, kind of, like, do the thing. And then, you know, just lowering Dream on the card, I think, you know, losing the NXT the title match is like, whatever. But like, he's not completely out of it yet. So, and I think Loomis has looked great in all his losses, but now he's going to have to win some shit.
With Dream and Loomis, like, that goes along with Undisputed Era. If they want to fight, you know, a combination of Fish and Roddy or Fish and O'Reilly, they could do that as well, because, like, it's, you know, tag team.
Can't wait.
You could do that and then have them get some rapport together, because obviously, you know, they haven't really teamed. So, like, have them win a couple matches and then have them challenge Imperium. And then that's how you drop the belts.
I think, they're, like, since Dream says he wants to work alone or whatever, they're probably going to, like, not form the tag team yet. So all the other contenders that are challenging, that are for the title right now, they can, like, still do their thing, you know? Like, they don't have to really rush that program. And then when that's finally finished, or, you know, coming to its close, Dream and Loomis could come together and then start working their way up towards a title match with Imperium, which should be really interesting. Dream and Loomis are two good characters. Like, they have some stuff going on, but Dream hasn't been really that great in the ring lately, so, but in my opinion, Loomis has, so maybe slack will be picked up there.
No, I think that will be smoothed out, as, you know, them being a tag team. I think that will kind of like, it will rub off on Dream, and then like he'll get it better. Like there's end of Sheer too. Like obviously, NXT needed a powerhouse team like AOP, so like you can't really discount them for going after the titles either, because you know how like NXT likes their power guys, so that can happen as well. Shifting to another tag match that happened. Tegan Nox, Shotzi Blackheart, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. Tegan and Shotzi look like $1 million here. And yes. it's not only because of their wrestling, it's because Bayley and Sasha made really like worked for them.
Made them look amazing. Please. Like get Tegan out of there, bro. I need her on SmackDown. I need her and Bayley to go at it for like a tag team title or something, man. This match was fantastic, or just like for the SmackDown Women's title, but like this match was really good. I really liked it a lot. Shotzi Blackheart, I see amazing things for her in the future.
Now, I love that Bayley and Sasha Banks have turned into the veteran ring generals as well. I really like that. They really, like I said, they really gave them a lot. Even the finish protected Tegan and Shotzi. Like it was kind of like a sneaky heel move into the bank statement, and then they won. Like it didn't really hurt Tegan and Shotzi's stock if they want to go back and do this again. And of course,
then also, I just wanted to talk about like how Paige on backstage always says like the four horsewomen don't really do like, you know, they don't really do anything to put women on, basically. But we just had Charlotte come through. She did her thing for the women's division, you know, in the single title sense. And then we just had Sasha and Bayley come and do things for the tag, basically like their tag team division. And I don't know about you, but I felt like Tegan and Shotzi wasn't really doing shit. So this was amazing for them to get this title shot.
As in, like, them not doing, and in terms of what? They were in that big feud with Dakota and Raquel.
And that hasn't really, like, got them any closer to, like, the women's title.
Well, you couldn't have that. You had Charlotte, Rhea, and Io.
And that's why, now that Io is the champion, I doubt the two faces are going to be challenging her. So that's why I think Sasha and Bayley coming through was really nice and like giving them, you know, something really meaningful to do on the show.
Well, yeah, that's why you have the women's tag titles. This is why, like, when they initially did that and they teased going to NXT first, this is why I thought, like, okay, this is what these titles are for. Now, obviously, it's easier because everybody's in Florida, so you could they could show up on shows like that. But like, I think that Bayley and Sasha Banks, for how long they have the titles for, I think they're going to do this more. So, you know,
yeah,
it was a good showcase for Tegan and Shotzi. Of course, at the end, you had Io send both of them packing. I think that this is not going to be over.
Please don't let this be over. When I saw this, I was very excited.
I wrote about it, and I kind of like guessed, like, July 8th, you already have a championship versus champion match. You might as well just do Bayley and Io. I don't know if it's going to be champion versus champion.
Not a winner takes all or anything.
But it's just going to be a singles just match for bragging rights.
Just a champion versus champion for, you know, just a match.
Yeah, I think that.
I would love to see that.
It might, I think that is going, that's got to happen. Like, I think people are clamoring for it. Before we exit out of NXT, Escobar, Mendoza, and Wild.
Fire.
Promo was great. They are Legado del Fantasma. That is the group's name.
They poked the shit out of Drake.
Well, first of all, they missed the table. So I hope Drake is
okay. Yeah.
Escobar, like I said, he's great on the mic. This is, prototypical massive heel faction and enduring, maybe reckless babyface trying to fight his way for the title. And this is a good story for the 205 guys.
Yeah. And I love Joaquin Wilde and, you know, Raul Mendoza. Like, they might come together as a tag team and start wrestling again. And I think they're two great performers, so I'm excited to see them wrestle again. Maybe Drake Atlas can come back and wrestle with Drake Maverick, probably in a tag team match against those two.
I mean, you could also have them go after the tag titles if you need another an extra team. That's kind of like the nice little like flexibility that you have in NXT. Like, have a 205 Live tag team kind of go after the tag team come titles and come through, especially with like Lorcan and Birch. They fought on 205 Live, so that would be cool as well. Just to like a final note, the Robert Stone brand is apparently picked up Aaliyah. She got a win. Good for her.
Yeah. Okay. Not with it. That first, like this week, like it was a really good NXT, but that first half of NXT felt like a completely different show. We got Kayden Carter versus Dakota Kai, which I think I think that's kind of weird that she's not looming around the title. Well, we don't really know who's going to be aiming for the title now.
We don't know yet. Presumably, it would be Rhea, but like we don't know.
Yeah. We'll have to see. But then we get a Killian Dane match. No. and then we get this Aaliyah match where she finally gets a win, but it was like they botched the finish.
Yeah, they botched the finish really bad.
And then I think the Bronson Reed thing might be like that. That's like where the show picked up. I'm glad that Bronson Reed is finally getting some mic time, and he'll be getting a match against Karrion Kross. I'm glad to see him. You can see you see some personality in that promo there.
Yep, and I think you're going to be seeing some personality as he gets laid out on the mat. Anyway, moving on to AEW Dynamite.
Okay. And where the hell is Tony Schiavone?
You gave him a friendship timeout.
No, it doesn't matter. He should be here. He should always be here. Okay. He's a friend. Okay. Text him right now.
I'll text him. Call him. I'll text
get him here right now. Okay. And what is this? Why do you care? Why there's lighting? Why do you have this?
Well, I just needed them to see you being rescued.
Rescued? Right? Yes. Oh, I'm a damsel in distress. You're a glory hog? Reba. Reba, okay.
No.
A lot of tag teams, as we echoed last week. Yeah. First of all, I don't want to start there. So I'm not starting there, like, because you know we're running low on time. But Anna Jay, she did a nice little promo before, like, just to introduce herself. And okay, she comes out, and then there's a new person, Abaddon, who is like this grudge, like I love horror, but like she's like this grudge, like. The Exorcist character that they have, cool. She just beats the hell out of Anna Jay, pins her, wins. Which is weird because it's just like, oh, well, you did this whole thing with Anna Jay, and then she gets beat, and then the Dark Order comes out, and you know they extend their hands to her. Now I think Dark Order does need a female wrestler, so
yeah.
I thought it'd be too easy for like somebody like Abaddon to be in the creepy stable, like, you know, stable. But like Anna Jay, she is a younger wrestler, so like for her to like kind of go under the tutelage of Dark Order and start getting some wins and kind of change, and like giving her like a personality, actually wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, definitely. I just thought it was kind of weird that she got like that whole video package thing and then she lost. But it's nice to see that AEW are finally starting to get more newer talent and newer women. Abaddon, I saw that she got signed, and I asked people if they, like, are they familiar with her. I got no response, so I'm probably just going to have to do my own research. But I think she looks really cool, really interesting. So I'm going to see how that what they do going forward. Dark Order slowly trying to come back. I do enjoy that because now that Stu Grayson and Evil Uno are back, I'm excited to see them. Hopefully they go for the tag team titles after the Best Friends lose their title match.
Yeah, who isn't? Who isn't at that point? You had Hangman and Omega versus the Natural Nightmares. You also had Super Bad Squad versus the Young Bucks. And then you had to end the show Best Friends versus the Late Sex Gods. So if tag team wrestling is your thing, this is the show for you. They had also had the, the kerfuffle with the Young Bucks and Super Bad Squad. They had, you had FTR, you had the Young Bucks, you had the Super Bad Squad, and then you had Butcher and Blade. And then it ended with kind of like the Young Bucks and FTR.
At least Butcher and Blade are still around.
Yeah.
Good for them. Not a lot of Hikaru Shida or Penelope Ford this episode. Well, like, I think she just had like a video package.
Well, Penelope Ford was on Dark, and of course she was at ringside with Super Bad Squad. Dark had like 11 matches on it.
Can we talk? Did you see the Joey Janela and Sunny Kiss match against whoever those guys were? Like, I'm sure they were enhancement talent. But did you see it?
I did.
That match is really good.
Yeah.
I if there was any makeshift tag team that they put together so far, I think Sunny Kiss and Joey Janela are really, really doing some interesting stuff. And I hope they get on the show.
Get them on the main show.
Yes, please. I think I reblogged one gif of it where it's kind of Sunny Kiss like doing the submissions and like Joey Janela's like running the ropes and like, I don't know, like to me that came off as like some Undisputed Era type shit where it's like it was like a Donnybrook, like that shit was like really hard to me, like I'm really fucking with it.
For a show that like has been criticized for not having enough black wrestlers on it, I think that, okay, so they fought Musa and Sean Dean. Yeah, it was really good. Really good. I think everybody should check it out. I think that having Sunny Kiss and Joey Janela kind of like a tag team that's finding themselves, if you're not going to have Private Party on there every week, would be a really good look. Because they have enough, have enough tag teams on the main show already.
Yeah, and it's also just like on black wrestlers. I think they're doing some stuff with Big Swole, but like I just think her antagonizing the wrestler that isn't coming back relatively soon, like I definitely think she should be focusing her targets on other things.
Well, I mean, she'll have wrestling matches in between, but at the same time, I think Britt's thing is one of the best things they have going for Dynamite right now. So, like, to have her and have kind of her being the heater for a while is not going to hurt Big Swole. You just have to get Big Swole in actual matches on the show. That's my thing. Like, it's like, all right, we had seen Big Swole for, and some of it is the pandemic. But now that you see her more, all right, let's get her in some matches. To go off that point, AEW has a new acquisition. Ricky Starks from NWA lore. He answered Cody Rhodes' open challenge. I thought this was a good match. I think I want to see more of Ricky Starks, but at the same time, like it's like there's so many people already. Like, where are you going to see him?
Yeah, and there's already kind of like people, kind of just looming around. Like, I think MJF is really like just around at this point. And I'm just like, that's a shame because they really should do a lot more with him. And I think John Moxley and Brian Cage are really kind of just sort of in their own bubble at this point. Like, there's not a lot of talks about well, like, other competitors aren't really talking about aiming for the AEW title right now. Like, and, you know, normally they would just to, you know, kind of, like, plant the seed, but we're not really seeing a lot of it. That's why I think they're kind of in their own, like, bubbles right now. But I think Ricky can, if he could take the title off Cody, I think he'll be in a good spot. If not, yeah, he's fucked.
No, I don't think that Ricky Starks is going to take the title off Cody necessarily right now. Of course, he has that match with Jake Hager coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at Firefest.
Forgot about that.
I think that Cody is eventually, like, he's been teasing it here and there, but, like, Cody's going to go for a heel turn. I think that's where they're going to go with him. MJF and Billy Gunn. Yeah, well, MJF and Billy Gunn, that was like a typical late 1980s, early 90s match. Heel runs away. Heel, like, gets carried back, overpowering babyface. Heel goes for a limb and works on the limb for a while. Babyface makes a comeback. Ref gets distracted. Heel cheats and gets the win. That's what you get with MJF.
And, you know, that might not sound like a bad thing to some people. Like, that, you know, that sounds okay on paper. But I just think, like, I'm not particularly too big of a fan of his, but I do think that he should be getting more, honestly.
Well, that's why I'm so interested to see what they're going to do with that third show. Because, I mean, they have Dark, and they have a lot of matches on Dark. Like, it's basically
it kind of leads to nothing.
Well, I mean, they have, okay, so with QT Marshall and Allie, they had some stuff on there that leaked into Dynamite. And, like, the Natural Nightmares. Like, they do have some storylines that they build up on Dark that goes into Dynamite. It's just that now you're getting so many guys, like, the Archers,
but, like,
the Rick, you know, the,
But look who QT Marshall surrounds himself with. Did I say that? Yeah. Who he surrounds himself with. Yeah. That's like a tongue twister. But, like, just, you know, he's with Dustin. He's with Brandi Rhodes. These are two, you know, big names or just, you know, important people within the company. So, like, I'm not surprised that his, like, stuff kind of leaked into the main show. Especially if they're gonna, if he was gonna have a title match the next night.
Oh,
but
that match at the beginning of the show definitely showcased him. They were definitely going out of their way to showcase QT Marshall and, like, Allie in the ramp cheering him on.
Yeah, I don't like that Allie ditched her Butcher and the Blade look, even though Butcher and Blade also ditched the all black and now they rock all white. But No, nah, man, I like the mask that she had and shit like that. That shit was cool.
To kind of finish up the episode, Orange Cassidy, he basically got the upper hand on Jericho. I wanted to see how people felt about him doing the Superman punch.
I mean, he did it.
He did it pretty good.
He's done it before. Yeah. Jericho said he wanted Roman Reigns in AEW, and he got him, bruh, in the form of Orange Cassidy.
Orange Reigns. I like that he had a little bit of fire in this episode, too. I really like that.
It's kind of crazy that, do you think Orange Cassidy is going to win?
Yes.
Okay. But then where does he go from there? Getting a big win on the former AEW champion. You see him going against Moxley?
No, I don't think. Well, because it seems like Moxley is just going against all, like, he's going against all, like, bigger guys. Like, he's going against the, you know, the Brody Lees and the Brian Cages. And then, like, it'd be weird. Maybe it'll happen on a Dynamite, but, like,
yeah,
it'll be weird for him to be like, all right, well, Orange Cassidy. It'd definitely be a change of pace. Like, it'd be funny to see how, like, Moxley works with Cassidy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know what? To be honest, I don't know where Moxley goes after this. I was thinking MJF, but
yeah, that's what I was like. you know, so Orange Cassidy gets his mask and then, like, kind of just, like, where did, like, MJF is undefeated, and he's number one on the rankings. I have, you know, I think I just, it's been, like, 2 days since I just addressed his rankings, and I'm sure people see how I feel about it already, but it's just, like, you have to do something with MJF right here. Right now. Like, I don't really think he should be having this match with Billy Gunn. And AEW does the thing where, you know, the next challenger is always in sight, or, like, you know, people would have multiple feuds. And I'm just surprised not to see MJF throwing his name around in that circle with Taz and Moxley.
I think that the program for them to do going into All Out is MJF and Moxley.
Yeah.
I think that's where they're going to do it. And I think if you want to really push your guys who are, like, the future, I think that's where Moxley's going to drop it. So, yes, you might be looking at a MJF title reign soon.
I'm not too excited about it, but I'm glad they're doing something.
I mean, listen, like, you got to push the youth movement. You got to push them into the...
Yeah.
You got to push them into the ocean and see if they can swim. You know what I mean? Like, you got Jungle Boy, you got Darby Allin, now you got Ricky Starks, you got MJF, like... You know, these veteran guys on top, that's good, but, like, you got to start pushing the youth. Like, that's who's going to carry your organization.
Cody thinks he's doing that.
I mean, like, to his credit, like, at least he's having, like, these matches to show a Mark Quinn or to show a Jungle Boy. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Well, I feel like they already shut the bed with Private Party after they didn't like last in that tournament, and then they were like gone for a while after they beat the Young Bucks.
Well, that speaks to that could be the pandemic, and then also that speaks to there's just
that
so
was
many.
Long
for the pandemic. Well, I'm just saying that also speaks to that there's just way too many tag teams. One, I don't think that they're a young tag team, so like I don't think on. I also believe in like putting the belts on them too quick. I think that you have to build them up with wins, and then you put the belts on them. But then again, like I said, like we just named on this episode like at least 7 tag teams, and then like some's on, you know, on Dark and things like that. Like it's hard to, it's their deepest division, and now you got FTR. So
yeah. And that just goes into AEW's roster problem where they rather, you know, hire more people than build up than what they already have. I think I said that like 2 weeks ago. But yeah, hopefully going into their next major pay-per-view,
well, they have
things change.
Yeah, 2 nights of Firefest, so we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah.
Any last comments? Before we head out
again? Nah.
Just be good people. Be good people. Stand up for somebody, like, you know, do good things. That's all I can say from basically the events of today. Just do right by people. Do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. As always, you can follow us at RNC Radio Live and Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our channels wherever you listen to podcasts. This week we got a new RSPN, talk about the potential NBA return, also talk about Kyrie Irving and his thoughts. There's also a new show called Ramen Talk. That's with Justin and Cyrus. They talk about The Last of Us Part 2, and then they talk a really deep discussion about Final Fantasy Remake, which I love. There's a new episode of The A Show. They talk about that. They also talk about the COVID-19 outbreak. They talk about Taker's documentary that's going to be wrapping up soon, and also Raw and SmackDown, new episode of the Big Eyes podcast. They talk about Promised Neverland and My Hero Academia, new episode of the Black Variant. They have a huge discussion about Superman, and they also discuss about Miles Morales, about the new Spider-Man game that is coming soon. We have something for everybody on there, so take a listen to RNC Radio. For myself and Cyrus, please stay safe. We will talk to you next week.